Good morning, everyone. Hope we're all having a great day today. Today's story comes to us from Malcolm, who attended Werewies University for the Musical Arts. Malcolm has a story for us today where he came face to face with something that he couldn't explain. So, without wasting any more time, here's a word from our sponsors.
In 2016, I started attending Werewies University for the Musical Arts. It was a pretty nice school, pretty big, too. I remember during orientation they gave us key cards. They informed us that there are three main buildings to practice in. There's Building A, which is for dancers and performers, Building B, for people who played instruments, and Building C, for singers and vocalists. We were given key cards and told that we had 24/7 access to our respective buildings, and that we had to dedicate around 5 hours every week to going on in and practicing. Although I've heard many students using it as a hangout area or even a study session, but nevertheless, the school kept up with who was and who wasn't keeping up with their hours. I guess it's a musical school, so I guess it's expected. Since it was 24/7 access, I made sure to plan my schedule around that. I made sure that all my classes in the mornings would start at 12. And I made sure my last classes were no later than 8:30. This would give me enough time to go to the cafeteria after my last class, spend around an hour to eat and take care of myself, and then go on over to the building and practice until midnight, maybe even a little later, just depending. And since my first class isn't until noon, I'd be able to go home and get a few hours of sleep. It didn't take me long to get used to my new schedule. I was out of my history of music class around 8:15. I would run to the cafeteria and get whatever wasn't closed. I would eat, and then I would go straight to Building B to practice. The first time I walked into Building B, it was really interesting. Lights were motion sensitive, so they only turned on whenever you passed by them. It was a really beautiful building though. It had a bunch of soft colors on the inside. Soft pink, soft blue, soft indigo. It was really nice. I wanted to practice in the main auditorium. It's usually where the classes will hold festivals or concerts. So I went to the main auditorium in my building, and I set up my cello, and I just decided to play something to warm up. Nothing really that took most of my attention, just something that has always kind of been in the background of my mind since I was a kid, since I started playing at a really young age. Whenever I played this tune, it was not only a way for me to warm up, but it acted almost like meditation. I would hear the sounds of the cello, and because pretty much muscle memory guided my hand, I was able to, in a way, zone out while I played that tune. As I played, I could feel my surroundings getting lighter as I started to get more in the zone. Although I was distracted, I kept seeing flashes of just people's faces. I opened my eyes, and obviously no one was there. I closed my eyes and continued to play, but again I got flashes of people's faces, this time being consumed by fire. I opened my eyes and I smelled smoke. It was coming from the next room. I got up and ran on over, checked to make sure the door wasn't hot, and it wasn't. I opened it and I saw more smoke, clouds of it. I was choking on it. "Hello, is somebody back there? Does somebody need help?" I yelled as I ran deeper in. If somebody was in there, I had to get them out. I finally got to the door and I was choking. I didn't grab the handle because I knew it'd be hot, but I banged on it. "Hello, does somebody need help?" I was choking and I couldn't see anything. My eyes were burning and watering. I started running and As I was running, I grabbed the nearest fire alarm and pulled it. I continued to run and choked at the same time. I could barely see. I barely got to the main room to grab my stuff before exiting. I got out of the building, coughing the entire time, and looked behind me. It didn't take long for everybody to start gathering around the building. Firefighters and ambulance showed up, as well as the police, and checked out the building. There was no fire, apparently. I remember people staring at me and talking, as firefighters looked upset at me, as if I had just wasted their time with a stupid prank. There was a fire, though. I know that there was. I was approached by the dean, who angrily asked me a series of questions. I told them that I swore that there was a fire. They had a lot to say, but they ended it by saying if I did anything like that again, I would be expelled. I know that there was a fire, though. I smelled the smoke. I choked on it. My heart was still racing, and I still felt the fear that I may have died in one of the worst possible ways. No one believed me, and who would blame them? There was no fire. No signs of a fire, no signs of even the smell of smoke. I was utterly alone in this experience and felt hopeless. I went back to my dorm that night, and I just passed out on my bed. I really didn't want to think about what happened, nor did I want to think about how I'd explain this to other students. I was already having trouble fitting in, and this really wasn't helping me. I woke up the next morning, and it was a Friday. I didn't have any classes that day, but I still had to go to Auditorium B to get my hours. I completely embarrassed myself last night, and I could have sworn that there was a fire. Nevertheless, I got dressed, brushed my teeth, ate breakfast, grabbed my equipment, and headed out the door. As I was walking to Auditorium B, I would catch people glancing at me and even whispering to their friends, probably assuming it was the stunt I pulled last night. I made my way to Auditorium B, and I just wanted to go to a private room. I heard a woman's voice. "Hey, you're the dude who pulled the fire alarm." I stopped in my place and grimaced. "Yep, that's me," I said. Before I could continue walking, she jumped out in front of me. "Why'd you pull it?" "What do you think? I thought that there was a fire." "Did you really choke on the smoke?" she asked. "Wait, I was close enough to overhear you and the dean talking last night. You really choked on smoke, though?"
Yeah.
"Dude, you should chill with my friends and I. No joke, this building is haunted," she said.
"What do you mean haunted? There's no such thing as ghosts."
Says a guy who choked on imaginary smoke.
I really hated being in that situation. I wanted to rebuttal, but she was right.
"Come on," she said.
I had no friends, and last night's stunt even furthered the idea of me having friends, so why not, right? I followed her until we got to a room that was meant for collaborations. That meant that it was a private room, but it was big enough for multiple people to be in. I saw two dudes who were twins, one with long hair, one with short hair, and a woman in a wheelchair. The girl who led me here got in front of me.
"Okay, the two blondes are brothers if you couldn't tell. Long hair is Phil, short hair is Bill, and the girl is Beth. I'm Vanessa."
I looked at the group, and Phil looked up from his phone at me, then back at his phone. Bill gave me an unenthusiastic smile, and Beth just simply raised her hand slightly to wave at me and put it down quickly. "This is the dude who pulled the fire alarm last night," Vanessa said. "I mean, I wouldn't say I saw a ghost. I think I just didn't get enough sleep or so. There was fire. I don't think I saw a ghost, though."
"We've all seen the ghost here, although no one believes us," Beth said. "One night, I was leaving a private room, and I was passing by the corridors, and I saw a man on fire pass me by. I almost myself before I ran out the building. I was yelling at people to help, but everybody seemed confused. I found out that there wasn't a man on fire, too, so I guess you could say my situation is similar to yours," Phil said.
"I have a ghost box, which I brought in one night, and I heard nothing but chanting and ceremonial drums on it. I swear about it, okay? I brought in my ghost box other times. We should go in with my ghost box one day," Bill said way too excitedly.
"And I saw a man with a rope around his neck standing at the top of the light section above the stage," Beth added.
"And I've seen dark figures pass from the corner of my eyes," Vanessa said. "I added it up to just coincidence, but it happens all the time, and sometimes it's really vivid," she added on.
"So all of you have had accounts with paranormal activity?" I asked.
"Let's say there is a ghost. How, though?"
"Our brother came to the school before us, and he told us a story about a janitor that used to clean Building B. He got picked on a lot by the students for some reason, and one day he just couldn't take it. He locked the doors of Building B and set the place on fire and hung himself," Bill said.
"Also, there's two ghosts," Beth added. "The janitor, but also the man on fire," she said.
"Oh, don't forget about the tribesmen. Don't forget about the tribesmen," Bill said.
"Man on fire, tribesmen? What?" I asked.
"Honestly, none of us know about that one," Phil said.
"Sometimes we see the man on fire, but nobody really knows who he is. As for the tribesmen, well, nobody knows anything about that either. All of this is kind of a mystery," Phil added.
"What does a man on fire look like?" I asked, purely out of curiosity.
No one really knows. He's pretty tall, though. I want to say about 6 feet," Beth said.
What about, like, the tribesmen? What's up with that?"
"No one knows," Bill said. "The only thing we know about it is that it happens randomly, and it kind of builds up. It doesn't happen all at once," he said.
"We'd all continue to talk about the supposed ghosts that haunted the building. I'm not sure what to think of it, but it was just nice talking to people about crazy things and not being seen as crazy by others. Although I didn't necessarily believe in ghosts, it was still fun to exchange stories and have a few good laughs, a few good conversations with some really cool people. After we went to go have lunch and went to the mall later, I was actually fitting in, and it actually felt really nice. We all hung out over the weekend, and it was really nice actually having some friends. Sunday night came, and I went to bed that night. I had a class at noon the next day. That night, I probably had one of the weirdest as well as scariest dreams. I saw in watercolor that night as my field of vision went black. I saw drops of red fall into my field of vision until it all mixed together. I saw red people in a village. They were taking care of cattle, plowing fields, and celebrating. I saw them light a giant idol on fire as they were celebrating around it, playing drums and all that stuff. The red idol filled up my view and everything turned red. As it zoomed out, I saw the people in red running towards a blue village. The villagers in blue ran out at them and both colors collided to fill my view. It zoomed out, and I saw the people in blue running towards the village in red. They were killing people and plundering it, absolutely destroying it. I saw a woman in red run out to the flaming idol and get on her knees and pray. I saw blue soldiers surround her as they were about to kill her, and then all of a sudden, everything went red. I heard no screams, I heard no nothing. Everything was red, and I saw a flash in front of me of a man with a scar going down his face, smiling, missing teeth, and his eyes were blacked out.
He was smiling as if he was laughing. Then I woke up. I woke up the next morning in a cold sweat, and I wasn't excited for the day. I felt like I had one of those sleeps where you just close your eyes and you wake up and your alarm is going off. I felt like I didn't get any REM sleep, and it felt like I pulled an all-nighter, if I'm to be God honest with you. I went to my classes and couldn't focus in any single one of them. I was like a zombie, just waiting for the time to go. The end of the day came, and I just got done eating. I went to Auditorium B, and I was honestly feeling like this was more of a chore than me actually practicing and playing and enjoying making music. But nevertheless, I went in, and I got myself a private room. No matter how much I tried, though, I couldn't focus for more than 1 or 2 minutes. I even tried really hard to focus and to just play some music, but nothing would happen. I would either mess up, or I would lose tune, or I would just forget where I was at. Honestly, I think I was just gonna skip that day. It was a mistake going there. So I packed up my stuff and was getting ready to leave. As I was leaving, I was passing by the corridors, and the lights were turning on for me as I was walking through. I had to pass by the main stage in order to get to the exit. But as I was passing, I saw this light in the corner of my eye. I looked over, and it was dark everywhere else except for this one spot in a random area in the middle rows. I froze. I didn't know what to do. But before I could even think about running, I started stepping forward. I'm not sure why, and I don't know what possessed me to. But I walked over to the light. I started seeing that, yeah, it was a light, but it was the man I saw in my vision. The scar. He had one eye that was brown and one eye that was blue. He was missing teeth. And it looked like if he stood up, he would be 6 feet tall. I walked over to his row, and as much as I tried to turn around and run, I walked on over to him. He was just staring out at the stage, and as I walked over to him, I turned and sat down.
This land used to be mine. Rivers flowed for miles, and forests winding in this land. It's funny, where I sit now, thousands of years before, the king of my tribe sat here.
I sat in complete fear. I was warm. I could tell it was from him, and I could tell if he wanted to, he could burn me alive. I'm not sure how I knew that. I could just tell. What happened? I managed to ask.
The new thinkers came and persecuted those who still believed and worshipped in the spirits. It was hypocritical of them. They slaughtered the name of peace.
Then what happened? I managed to ask. I saw him smile from the corner of my eye.
She prayed for the death of those who destroyed her village, and I took it upon myself as a one who they prayed to for death and rebirth to destroy the villages. I knew that new life would form from those ashes. It was at that point that the war was just starting.
Did you make the janitor set the place on fire? I asked, with my heart beating almost out of my chest.
My influence is like a great inferno. Very powerful. But it is up to you to choose how to use it. There are some people who cannot handle it.
I didn't know what to do, or even what to think. And the heat that was radiating from this guy was just so intense. I've only been sitting next to him for a few short minutes, but my clothes are soaked with my own sweat. I ended up passing out and waking up in my room. I'm not sure to this day what happened, but I've changed my schedule around. I no longer go to Auditorium B at nighttime anymore, or by myself, really. I like to go in the mornings when there's more people there, and after my last class, I just go to my dorm and rest. To this day, I'm still not sure what happened, but I paid a lot for my classes, and I'm gonna finish. Like I said, I just don't go to Auditorium B at night by myself anymore.